I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now it's time for Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
No! If you know what this beat means, I can't believe Shaw, was this you?
Yeah, I threw this together last second.
On! Okay, Trista Crick here on The Score 670. If you want to endear yourself to me, that's a deep cut, Sean. So I went a couple of weeks ago on the Cameron and Mesa show, and they asked me to do a freestyle to this beat. If you want to hear it, go to my Instagram. It went a little viral, and Sean, I was just so surprised and delighted at this beat being the intro song. Good for us.
Yeah, you killed that on that freestyle, so I had to show you some props, you know?
Thank you, bro. It's going to be a good damn show. I can just feel it. It's in my veins. 312-644-6767. It's Bears, baby. It's week two. We got a Sunday night football game. It's a loaded show. Sean gave us guest after guest after guest, including two former NFL starting QBs. I got the sunglasses on. It's 11 a.m. It's Saturday. We got the bright lights of Sunday night football. We got a pulse on an 11 a.m. morning for Sean. It's an exciting day. My heart rate's already like 145, and I just got started. Jim Miller's on today, a former quarterback of the Bears. He's here to join us to talk about, Caleb versus C.J. Stroud. Is it a fair comparison? Should we even be putting that on Caleb's shoulders? Along with, by the way, Jim Miller, if you don't remember, Jim Miller was out there stumping on his show to keep Justin Fields and have Caleb Williams. Does he still feel that way? What did he see from Justin Fields last week, who was a surprise starter for the Steelers? I'm going to say this. Didn't look great. He's on at 11:25 this morning. Later on at noon, we got Hubar Kush. He's the host of the Pro Football Weekly podcast. He's the NFL sideline reporter for Westwood One. He's also a legend in the game. Also, just a little NFL insider for us on The Score. He's going to talk about the matchup as a whole, what he's seen so far from both teams in week one. Full disclosure, I want his prediction. Full disclosure, Sean, the Texans are my survivor pick. So maybe he will say enough to convince me to choose someone like the Eagles.
Ooh, I mean, Hub's the guy. He knows it.
Hub's the guy. Finally, we're going to do a little enemy intel. Yeah, enemy intel with Sean Salisbury, who, by the way, I listened to Sean's show yesterday. It was 3.5 hours of wild talk. I mean, I can't wait to have him on. Former Vikings and Oilers quarterback, ESPN NFL analyst as well. But they talk like 3.5 straight hours of like Ludacris versus Tyrese. And I was like, am I even on the right station? Are we getting to the Texans here? Anyway, he's awesome. I want to get his insight specifically from the Texans' perspective. He comes on at 1 p.m. The phone number again is 312-644-6767. So I know everyone in the show. Let's just talk about what's coming up. First and foremost, we have to talk about the quarterback battle. We have to talk about the quarterback expectations. A lot of fans see Caleb as the next C.J. Stroud. They see what C.J. Stroud did for the Texans. They say, could it be? Could we have found a player to transform us from worst to first? A playoff team beats the Browns, keeps up with the Ravens. I want to know whether that's something that we should really be talking about as a fair expectations. Because the surrounding cast is different. Certainly the coach is different. The offensive line is different. The D-line, very similar. That's probably the thing that you can say that both teams have to surround their rookie with and protect him is to have a really good defense. So how do we compare them? And we'll do that later on in the show. And we have some data, by the way, finally on how Caleb will play at this level when it matters. The initial reports, as we know, week one was a little spotty. It was tough. It was a tough. Statistically, the Bears had the worst offense in week one, which bad by itself. But then you add in the fact that the Texans had the second best offense. Comparisons are very stark. Sometimes, though, sometimes in terms of comparing them, you can't really compare apples to oranges. So we'll get into this later on today. Moving forward, in terms of what we already saw in week one, were there any signs of encouragement in terms of Caleb and how good we should feel? I think there are actually a lot. I think that the squeak win is number one. Like, was Eberflus and Justin Fields squeaking out wins? I know they had some comebacks, but down 17 and you don't, your defense comes to play like that? Due to the defense, due to the special teams, I think that there's some encouraging signs there. I want to hear from you as well. We'll talk predictions. I'm just going to say it right now. You're not going to like my prediction. I don't think you're going to like it at all. At all. Like, not only is the line, we'll talk about how to bet this game later on in the show too, but the line is 7 means, you know, Vegas thinks that the Bears will lose by a touchdown or more. It went from 6.5 to 7. I think 14-point deficit loss is not unrealistic in terms of how this could go. We'll talk about why, though. Where do the Bears have an advantage on the field? We'll talk about that. Like, is there a path for the Bears to win this game? A very slight, slim path? Sure. So we'll do that. And I want to hear from you guys as well. I want to hear what you predict this game is and what the keys to the game is. I also have thoughts on what players are set up to do well, whether you like player props and you bet, or maybe you just kind of want to use that as an expectation for how the game flow will go. So we'll talk about how to bet Sunday Night Football as well. The game's going to be super fun. It's probably the biggest primetime game that we've had as Bears fans. Y'all have had, I'm not in this, but y'all have had for a hot minute. Sean, I think the biggest game before this one was that 2018 Packers-Bears Sunday Night Football game where Aaron Rodgers was carted off and then he ripped Bears fans' hearts out. Is that, you think that's right? You think,
yeah. That's probably the one, like the Khalil Mack game comes to mind, or maybe even that like opener in 2018 like you're talking about where like the Bears had a chance. Those two are probably the most like anticipated Sunday night matchups for the Bears in a long time.
Khalil Mack. Wow. I haven't heard that name.
What a debut, man. That guy, I fell in love with that man like 4 seconds into him being on the Bears field. That was incredible.
God, nobody took over defensively as fast as him. And the scriptwriters are doing the Bears no favors. Like, it's just, I don't think it's fair, honestly. It's not fair. C.J. Stroud came in, and nobody thought anything. They were like, oh, his S2, Q2 score was terrible, and, like, Bryce Young's the dude, and Ohio State quarterbacks are never good, blase, 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 right? And the Texans have been god-awful. Defensively, they were terrible as well. They bring in D'Amico Ryans. They were under the radar, baby. There is nothing under the radar about this Bears team. Yeah, Hard Knocks. C.J. Stroud didn't have to deal with Hard Knocks. Get out of here. He didn't have to deal with week 2 Sunday Night Football against the prodigal son, like a guy who's already top 5 in MVP voting in his second year in the effing league. What are we doing right now? It's like Caitlin Clark. It literally reminds me of how the schedulers in the WNBA set Caitlin Clark up with like a brutal way to start in the schedule, all these nationally televised games, and then she isn't as good as we thought that she was, but that's because of the way that things were set up. And now she's comfortable, the schedule has softened up, and now all of a sudden she's figured it out. Maybe that's what we can see from Caleb. So, primetime, week 2 against Boy Wonder, C.J. Stroud. Onto the game itself, I want to just quickly talk about some brief keys to the game that we'll get into more later and how that affects my prediction. Because that's really, these keys are really going to make or break how this game goes. Number one, baby, that O-line. Baby, did you guys feel as disgusted by that O-line as I did? I was sickened. That interior was collapsing like moment one. Can we get any protection for Caleb Williams? Any at all? Can it open up holes for the running game at all? Like, is what we saw from four running backs being rotated in and out of the game, which was weird on its own, can we see a DeAndre Swift game? He was so bad. Multiple runs for negative yards. The Bears were not able to do a damn thing on the ground. Tennessee's run defense is not elite. Four different running backs last week. Swift had a 120-yard run and nine other runs for 10 yards. That's just...
I'm John Oran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Terrible. We can't have that. Number two, like in terms of the offensive line and the pass rush, now you're dealing with monsters. Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, Jerry Hughes, Fatu Hasi. What a name. How can this dinged up offensive line stop those dudes? Alert. I'm not sure they can. I don't think they can. But can Caleb Williams figure out a way to have success under pressure? Can he sit in the pocket, probably getting beat down, probably put on his back, and make reads comfortably, even with pressure and dinged receivers? Because what we saw in week one, which was very obvious, right, is that he was only successful in four wide, empty backfield situations. Can he be good in the pocket when they, if he can, they have a chance of really competing? That part's tough. Two, can the Bears defensive line generate pressure on CJ Stroud? Because if you can generate pressure on CJ Stroud, that changes everything. Because CJ, as good as he is, and we know he's really, really good in a bunch of different ways, the one Achilles heel that he has is being under duress, which a lot of quarterbacks have that issue. In terms of touchdown passes under pressure, not great. One of the worst. Completion percentage, one of the worst. We'll talk about all those metrics, nerd stats. I have them later on in my notes. But his sack rate goes crazy when you flush him for the pocket. In fact, we'll talk about this later in the show too. Week one and week two of his rookie year, he had 11 sacks combined in those two games. Pressure was coming, and he couldn't figure out how to avoid the sacks. And then three, the last point, because this is the most important, and this is the only way, really, that the Bears can win this game. Can the defense generate any turnovers anywhere? So you got a Bears team that led the NFL in interceptions last year, had two interceptions last week against the Titans. But then you're going against C.J. Stroud again, who has the lowest interception rate in the league. So generating turnovers have to happen somewhere else besides C.J. Stroud, or it's got to be an aberration. He's got to be so under duress that he makes mistakes, or Jalen has an amazing game. Maybe it's special teams. Maybe you force a fumble. We know Joe Mixon has a propensity for letting go of the ball. Joe Mixon was amazing in week one. Can you figure out a way to get him to turn the ball over? So the D-line and the linebacker core are going to need to force a fumble or two. So let's kind of set the stage, right, before we go to break. Bears, 7-point underdogs on the road against Houston. Bears have started just 2-0 just once in the last decade. And everybody's picking against him. I get it. Yeah. Rookie quarterback, Sunday Night Football, talent gap, coaching gap, not great under the big lights. That's kind of obvious, right? Bears on Sunday Night Football. Bears are 3-9 since 2014 on Sunday Night Football. It's rough. And then, because I'm sure people want to know, I'm sure that the injury report, if you haven't been checking every day on ESPN, I'm just going to set the stage for where we're at on the injuries as well. So number one, we talked about that offensive line being under duress, that offensive line crumbling. You know who crumbled? Ryan Bates. His shoulder, his elbow. He's already been ruled out. He was limited in practice and now has missed the last two practices. He's not going to play. Nate Davis, who's the more expensive offensive lineman, probably the better offensive lineman, and for whatever reason got outsnapped by Ryan Bates, he's now going to have the opportunity to tell Matt Eberflus, stop taking my damn job. Stop giving this other guy my snaps. So he's got to be good. So that's that. Keenan Allen didn't practice for a third consecutive day. He's got that heel injury. Game time decision. Roma Dunze, limited knee injury, game time decision. That's tough. If both of those guys are severely dinged or impaired in any way because they both weren't great in week one, that's tough. If you're just DJ Mooring it out there and Cole Kmetting it out there with a collapsing pocket, I think this game could get ugly. A D-end, DeMarcus Walker, also game time decision. That's a huge injury, dog. It is a huge injury. Week one, DeMarcus was a beast. 53 to 64 snaps on defense last week. And while rushing the passer, he had the pass rate, pass rush win rate, which is like a total nerd stat, like 25% of the time, which pressure most always comes from that. And that's sky high for anyone. And that led to four quarterback hits and one hurry. So he's a big one. I think he's probably, besides Keenan Allen and Rome, an essential piece to be looking out for. So it's a tall order facing the Texans in Houston this facing the Texans on Sunday Night Football in Houston this weekend, especially considering that a lot of people are high on the Texans. A lot of people think the Texans could be a Super Bowl contender. If you're talking about the Ravens maybe having a down year and the Texans facing them early in the playoffs, like they're very gettable. And C.J. Stroud is currently top five in MVP odds right now. What are your thoughts? 312-644-6767. Let's go to John Huntley, or John Outen Huntley, excuse me. What's up, John? Or you're on the score.
Real quickly, if we could all, as the entire city of Chicago, hold hands, take a deep breath, and just collectively just have a little chill. Let's just chill for a second, and I'd like to add some perspective. Before we even went into the season, I would say that most of us had week two against Houston as an L on our predictions. So if we go in here and we lose, it's not the end of the world. One thing that I don't think is being highlighted enough is even though it was Caleb Williams' first start, nerves were flying, we get it. He didn't turn the ball over, and that's huge. And the other thing that we have to realize, not only do we have a new quarterback, we have a new offensive coordinator, we have two new wide receivers and a new running back. Like, dude, it's going to take a little time to get adjusted, settle in. If we lose this game, let's try to see some improvements from week one. But let's just put things in perspective and not overwhelm this quarterback with all of our anxiety. It's just it's a little much. He's a rookie, guys. Chill. Just a little chill will be good. That's all I got to say.
John, I agree. Those are totally good points. And we talked about that, you know, prior to the season starting, that the expectations for Caleb plus the Hard Knocks probably made those expectations even more unrealistic than they would have been otherwise. What are you looking for in terms of this offense and the improvement, all things considered, especially given the fact that Texans' D-line is so nasty?
Well, what I'd like to see is better offensive line play. I think that's obvious. It was glaring. Our center got knocked on his butt, like ridiculously blown up. Like that has to come together a little bit. Dropping the ball, you know, right off the snap, that doesn't help Caleb's, you know, situation at all. And just staying in rhythm, a couple, if he completes even half of the passes that were not completed, this game is totally different. So in spite of the bad offensive play, in spite of not getting on the same page, these weren't like mental errors that we see out there. He didn't get desperate like we've seen with Justin Fields and try to like put the whole game on his shoulders where he's, you know, getting fumbled and it's, you know, a scoop and score or he's throwing interceptions. He maintained possession of the ball, did a good job. He stayed within himself, even though it was his first start and it should have been an L. We took a W. Let's just keep it in perspective and hope for some improvements this week, and then look at the next part of our schedule. Guys, we can rack up some wins here, but like, I just think if we get too much crazy, too much anxiety, for some reason, it seems to translate to our quarterbacks. I feel like we somehow offset that energy. It's weird.
Good point. Thanks so much for your call. Yeah, I think that's a phenomenal piece of insight for Bears to keep in mind, because Caleb didn't look great, but John's exactly right. Caleb did a lot of good things and prevented a lot of self-inflicted wounds that most rookie quarterbacks make. Justin Fields would make. Multiple quarterbacks that become 10-year starters in the league, they make. He didn't turn the ball over. He didn't play outside of himself. And he found a way to win the game and let the defense take the way when the offensive line was collapsing. We'll talk more about this down the road. We've got Jim Miller next. Give us a call, though, 312-644-6767. We'll be back right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
To a guy like Caleb, he was the number one pick. You remember, you know,
two
pick. What kind of advice would you give a guy?
Be yourself. Understand whatever got you here is just good enough. You don't got to be superhero. You don't got to try to make all the plays. Sometimes the boring plays are good. But yeah, that's what the advice I would give to him.
All good. What's up, Mitch Trista? You're listening to 670 The Score. Phone number 312-644-6767. Give us a call. We're about to speak with former Bears quarterback Jim Miller, who may or may not be in the building. So hopefully we can find him. I think we got him on the phone, actually, which is great news. I want to get his thoughts on the Caleb-CJ Stroud comparisons. Also, what he's seen from Justin Fields as well, who's now on the Steelers. Jim actually wanted the Bears to keep Justin Fields and do the Caleb Williams thing, kind of in the a la Green Bay model without the franchise quarterback, like with kind of like a quarterback competition between them, given the fact that you got them both under team control. I want to hear what he has to say about that. Do we have Jim? What's up, Jim? How you doing?
Hey. Good. How you doing? Thanks for having me today.
I'm good. Let me just give a little love to our Score Hotline presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We introduced Jim Miller, played 4 years for the Bears, led them in 2001 to their best record of the 21st century when he was 11-2 as a starter. I wanted, Jim, just to get your thoughts, because there's a lot of Bears fans that want to compare Caleb to CJ. They want Caleb immediately to become CJ. Week one was a rough outing for Caleb, but he didn't do a lot to hurt the team. What did you see from Caleb in week one?
Well, first off, I think CJ is the anomaly. He's the anomaly. He struggled his first week. I think it was against New England last year, and that was his worst game. And that's kind of what Caleb Williams is going through. You know, he was a little bit too amped up. He missed a couple of throws. Obviously, you know, Keenan Allen's got to catch the one in front of the pylon, you know, and he could have had a good day. But I think overall, I think everybody recognized he didn't make the big mistake. And if he does that, that's a good thing. And I like his demeanor. You know, not everything's not going to go your way. You know, until he figures everything out, there's going to be some bumps in the road. But he seems to, you know, just let it slide off, you know, his back, and it doesn't seem to bother him. And I did like that about him. But certainly he knows he's got to play better. And when you miss throws like that, you know, you don't sleep good at night. I just know that. And when you miss a throw that you know you can make 100% of the time and you miss it and it hurts your team, you really, you know, he knows he's got to hit those. Those are big time throws.
When I was watching Hard Knocks, I thought it was so fascinating that Caleb Williams said he didn't get nervous, but he certainly didn't look comfortable, but he was calm. Did you feel like that as well?
Yeah, I think you could tell he was amped up. You know, that first play action pass that he threw down the sideline, I think it was Keenan Allen that he overthrew him by about 5 feet. That's jitters, that's nervousness, that's your first NFL game, and you're amped up. The kid's amped up, and he's in control of a lot of things, and he just doesn't want to make a big mistake. And he did that. Out of all that, those other things went wrong, but he did accomplish what they needed him to do. Don't make the crucial mistake like what Levis did that'll really cost your team. And I think from that standpoint, the Bears fans should be very happy. But certainly the talent, everybody sees the talent. He's a smart young man. I think he understands everything that's in front of him. and I think he's handled everything well. It's just it's going to take a little time, but Bears fans don't want to hear that. They don't want to hear that. They don't have the patience for that. You know, you already talked the last two guys out of town. Let this guy settle in. Let him marinate a little bit, and then the Bears will be just fine, and I think Bears fans will be just fine with the end product.
Yeah, and we've seen a lot of bad O-linemen or offensive lines and expectations from a fan base run quarterbacks out of town on other teams as well. Given the fact that you see CJ as an anomaly and you don't think it's fair to compare Caleb to CJ, who is the person that you think is who we should be looking at to chart Caleb's development against?
Well, I think every guy is different. You know, look at how Bryce Young struggled down there for Carolina. You know, look at the three first-round quarterbacks, Kenny Pickett, Justin Fields, and Zach Wilson. They're all gone. They're not even a part of their teams anymore. So, you know, every player is different. You got to be able to coach the player the right way, the proper way. You know, obviously they're high draft picks because they're very talented. But, you know, a lot of the quarterback position, there's a lot going on. Check with me's and audibles and – you know, you're trying to, you know, pump up your teammates to get them going, and you want to show them that you're a young player that they can count on, and I'm sure that's what he's trying to do, and sometimes you try to do too much. And I think he really has a handle on that. He understands, I just can't do too much right now. I have to be a good teammate, just do what I'm asked to do, and don't make the crucial mistake. And if he does that, I'd say about week probably 9 when this offense starts humming, and that'll be good because then they'll be going in on their divisional games. So give it like 6 to 7 weeks for this offense to really settle in. And obviously injuries are going to happen. You'll have to account for those. But you want that offense up and running by week 9 where they can score over 20 points, where they'll be in every game, especially those division games that are going to be on the back end of the schedule.
Yeah, and I don't know how comfortable he's going to be against the defensive line that generates a ton of pressure with, like, Danielle Hunter, Will Anderson, yeah, et cetera. If you're evaluating Caleb for week 2, given how insanely talented Houston's defensive line is and their back end with a guy like Derek Stingley, mm-hmm, what are you hoping to see from Caleb?
Well, I think for him, he's going to have to identify pressures, certainly, because – we know D'Amico Ryans is an aggressive guy, comes from San Francisco, and that's why their defense, those linebackers and them loved him because he sent a lot of pressure. And I would think that's going to be the same there in Houston. And like you said, they've added that Nick Caserio, that general manager down there for the Houston Texans. He's been aggressive the last probably 3 years, you know, working those trades to get CJ. And now the players that they added this offseason, they feel with that rookie contract of what CJ has, now they can build around him, much like the Bears are doing. And they loaded up, man. They loaded up. They're very talented on offense with Tank Dell and Nico Collins. And they got a ton of weapons, and they want to run the ball. And, of course, they got a very good decision maker. Look at CJ. The last 230 throws he has thrown, zero interceptions. 230 throws in a row without a pick. It tells you how talented that young quarterback is. And he was doing this last year, and now he's off right where he left off last year. He is the anomaly.
Yeah, what makes him so good at that facet of the game, in your opinion?
Well, I just think I think Ryan Day at Ohio State did a good job, and part of it, they learned from Justin Fields' mistakes. And I talked to Justin about this, and I talked to Ryan Day about it, that when Justin was at Ohio State, he never even called a play. Never even called a play, right? All 11 guys look at the sideline, and the coach holds up the play. Hey, we're going to run play number 1. And that's it. Everybody knows it. We're going to go on 1. That's it. And so Justin, it really stunted his growth because really his first year of the Bears, he really couldn't spit out plays because he had never done it before. And these plays are very wordy. They're very lengthy. They're very detailed. And it took him a while to get that done. Now, what Ryan Day did after Justin Fields left, when he saw he was struggling his rookie year with CJ at Ohio State, they had what were called call-out days. Call-out days where, hey, we are going to huddle. I'm going to prepare you for the next level of how to call play, how it needs to be, you know, the you know, how you got to emphasize things. He had to be taught all that. And they had those opportunities for CJ, and he felt more comfortable, and he assimilated to the NFL a lot quicker than Justin did. So just that subtle move by the coach understanding after talking to Justin, hey, I cannot fail CJ the way I failed Justin. So we're going to have call-out days to make sure this doesn't happen to CJ Stroud. Overall, that's for Ryan Day to understand that and communicate to both quarterbacks and said, yeah, I screwed up here as a coach. I need to prepare CJ better. And Justin did not have that preparation, and I think that's the difference. That's why Justin has been stunted in his NFL growth.
Yeah, you talked about before the draft, you thought maybe the Bears should keep Justin and then draft Caleb to do a year of learning the ropes from the bench. You still think that? And what was your assessment of Justin week one in Pittsburgh?
Yeah, I still think he struggled with the downfield throws, and his timing and rhythm isn't there, but it's better. But again, he is now learning his fourth offense, right? When he arrived at the Bears, he learned that offense, and then they brought in Luke Getsy, so he learned that offense, and now obviously they bring in, you know, Shane Waldron, and no, Justin's gone, but he has to learn a new offense over in Pittsburgh, and now it's Arthur Smith's. And so I think once you go through that, like for me, I played for nine teams. It gets easy. When you move from team to team, I'm like, all right, this play was this play in this playbook. This play is this play in this playbook. So it was easy for me because you get used to it. You can train yourself to say, you know, almost like a blueprint that you can compare pictures of, oh, this play was this play in this offense. And I think for Justin, now he's experiencing that. He's learned now few offenses. It comes quicker and quicker and quicker because all the principles are the same. Maybe there's some different coaching techniques that a new coaching staff may want you to do, but it's still the same play, but it was called a little bit different in this other system. And so you could see he's speeding up, and obviously he got his first win. So congratulations to him. I still think the Bears should have kept him. He's too talented of a player.
Yeah, he certainly has a lot of potential, that's for sure. You mentioned Bryce Young earlier on in the segment, who is very much tied, Jim, to the Bears, obviously. Number one pick last year that the Bears traded that pick to Carolina, too. What are we seeing from Bryce Young, and why do you think he's struggling so badly? Is it what you were saying in terms of how he was maybe prepared or unprepared by the Alabama offense? Is that just the system that he's at in Carolina? Is that the offensive line? Is that his size? Like, what do you think the main reason is for his struggles?
I think it's ownership down there, quite frankly. You know, I think the owner that was the ownership pick, I don't think Frank Reich wanted Bryce Young. I think Frank Reich wanted C.J. Stroud, and the owner made the decision, right? The owner was in on all those that quarterback. Like, when they – who worked out? It was four different quarterbacks worked out. Anthony Richardson, obviously C.J., the kid who was at Duke, Will Levis, and then, of course, Bryce Young. And ownership was there through all these pro day workouts, and they kind of decided it. Obviously, they wined and dined him. They took him out to dinner. They loved Bryce's personality, and he wooed him a little bit. But make no mistake, when you're the first overall selection, that's an ownership pick. That's not the head coach pick, because the owner's got to sign off on it, and that's who the owner wanted.
Yeah, I think he tried to walk that back recently, too, saying that he thought the Bears were going to have the number one overall pick, so he was hoping to take C.J. Stroud, which I found that to be quite absurd. So the big news, obviously, of the week outside of the Bears is Tua and his concussion. And as a former NFL quarterback, I kind of wanted to get insight from you into the issue. Obviously, the fraternity of NFL quarterbacks is so small, so elite. I would be remiss to not ask you about your experiences and just kind of your thoughts on the topic as a whole.
Well, certainly I'm worried about the young man because, you know, this is now, you know, his fifth documented. Well, one wasn't officially documented, but it really is his fifth documented concussion. If you were to go back to Alabama for Tua, I think that's up to him. It's up to his family, his loved ones. You know, I think he's going to take all the information from the doctors and everybody involved, and everybody should be concerned. You know, this is now three separate incidents where, I mean, he's been woozy, almost punch drunk, where he couldn't even walk off the field. And so, you know, I think at some point there is going to have to be modifications made if he wants to continue to play. You know, I think, you know, whether it's wearing that guardian cap or whatever, you know, we're kind of on an island right now where we've never seen this before. And typically for teams or organizations, when a player has upwards of five or more concussions, I'll give you an example. Javad Best. Javad Best was a running back at Cal who the Detroit Lions selected, you know, in the first round, very high draft pick, very talented player. He had five documented concussions in college. When he arrived to the Detroit Lions, he literally got three concussions right away. It ended his career. It's very hard and difficult for an organization to keep putting a player out there where, you know, he's basically, how do you say this? You got to protect him so he can protect himself. Say, Javid, this is, you know, here we are with eight concussions. These could have significant ramifications for the rest of your life. And probably it might be the best to step away from football. Now, I'm not saying that's the case for Tua because every case is different, but the facts are the facts. There's, you know, over five documented concussions, and you just worry about the young man. You worry about his family because he supports everybody. People don't know this. He flew his whole family. When he you know, agreed to go to Alabama, he flew his whole family to Alabama, and they live with him. So he supports everybody. And, you know, you give the man a lot of credit because he fights and he puts up with a lot of criticism, but he's a very talented player. But now there has to be legitimate concerns for his safety. There's no doubt about that. This is a very sensitive issue right now.
Do you think it's fair for commentators and pundits to be asking whether he should be retiring?
Yeah, I think that's his decision. You know, he's got to make the best decision for him and his family. That's what I think. And those are internal discussions with his family, his loved ones, like I said, his wife. And, you know, if it comes to that point, maybe a doctor, like for me, I had no choice. You know, I blew out my right hip when I was with the Giants, and the doctor said, dude, you're done. You're done. And I said, hey, that's what I needed to hear. I needed to hear a doctor say, dude, you can never play pro football again, because I would have kept on going out there. I would have kept on going out there regardless. And I'm, you know, you kind of have that mindset as a player. But once that doctor told me, he's like, Jim, this is going to have bad effects if you keep playing. And I said that I needed to hear that because that's what shut me down. But I needed to hear that from a doctor. Otherwise, I would have kept on going out there.
Yeah, certainly something that we're going to keep an eye on moving forward with Tua. Before I let you go, Jim, I'd love to get your prediction on the game, just keys to it and what you think the impact and outcome is going to be.
Well, I think point totals, you know, the Bears have to score points offensively. Can they match point total for point total with the Houston Texans? I would say after week one, we'd say no. I think they have the talent to do it. But again, this offense, it's going to take time. There's going to still be subtle mistakes where he's off on his timing. Maybe he reads a blitz wrong. Maybe he doesn't audible correctly. But again, not to avoid the costly turnover to keep the Bears in the game. But can the Bears match Houston point for point? And I would say that's not the case right now. With the offense and how Houston is structured, I would think the Bears, and I would think everybody else would predict, this would probably be a loss in the Bears column, in my opinion. But don't worry, the wins are coming. They're going to come once this offense starts clicking.
The wins are coming. Jim Miller, thank you for coming on the show. Check him out on SiriusXM. What are your thoughts? Give me a call, 312-644-6767. Thanks so much, Jim.
All right, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Good stuff from Jim. We'll talk about that moving forward, too. We're going to put Sean to work. Sean is going to cut up some clips of what Jim had to say. So much good stuff on C.J. Stroud and how he was able to really develop at Ohio State into somebody who can read defenses and avoid those big-time turnovers that pretty much every other NFL quarterback at some point has struggled with, and C.J. Stroud just came in and led the NFL in in interception percentage. So nuts stuff. I think we got to get to break. I think we only had one all day. So 312-644-6767. Give me your thoughts. Who is the quarterback that you compare Caleb to if it's not C.J. Stroud? We'll talk more about that comparison right after this.
We're back with more Trista Crick on Sports Radio 670 The Score and always live on the free Odyssey app.
What's up? It's the day before a Bears game. Oh, baby. And we've got some business to take care of today. We've got lots to discuss. Caleb versus CJ. We've got more guests. We're going behind enemy lines. We've got intel for you from Sean Salisbury, former Oilers quarterback, former Vikings quarterback. We do have some cleanup to do. Billy Donovan, woo! Keep listening for your chance on this show to be a part of a live studio audience. Oh, yeah. Mully and Haw, September 25th, broadcast from 5:30 to 10 a.m. at the Blue Cross Blue Shield Performance Stage. So here's the deal. I love the NFL, but my baby is the NBA, and I want to call in to talk to and to see Billy Donovan. I've got questions, don't you? Anyway, he's going to be in studio during the 8 a.m. hour that morning. We've got tickets to give away, so you got to be the sixth caller today. I think we have one caller already, so five more callers. 312-540-0670 when you hear this.
Billy Donovan is a future Hall of Famer, without a doubt. And don't at me.
Don't at me. Don't at me. It's all brought to you by Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois. Through it all, my goodness. I feel like Jim was very insightful. The thing that I believe has not been discussed, Jim Miller, who was on former Bears quarterback last segment. If you missed it, go to the Odyssey app, push the rewind button, watch, listen to the full interview, because he was super detailed. Played for 4 years for the Bears. Actually, a lot of people don't know, he was the winningest quarterback in the 21st century for the Bears. 11-2 as a starter, just like as he said, could not stay healthy. But I don't think anyone has really talked about that Justin Fields was playing paint by numbers at Ohio State. Like, I don't think anybody knows that he was not calling plays there at Ohio State. And that essentially changed everything that Ryan Day wanted to do. But also, for the Bears, who did not evaluate Justin Fields and not know that, which is a massive red flag. Hey, this guy doesn't do the thing that's, like, essential to the quarterback position. He's never done that in his entire career. It's literally just look at the coach and then memorize a play and then everybody's on the same page. Call play, done, rinse, repeat. That's scary. Anyway, I think that is kind of like breaking news and fascinating as we look at Justin Fields' development moving forward and definitely stunted his growth. We got to pay some bills, don't we? We got to pay some bills. We're going to come back after at the top of the hour to talk about more about what Caleb Williams did so well and how we can be encouraged, even in a rough debut. Trista Crick here on The Score. We'll be back at the top of the hour.
I'm John Aran, and I have a new podcast called The Varsity. I will bring on the smartest people I know to break down the hottest topics in sports media. Available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.